Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday, it will be when this releases. We have a very special The Sun and the Star episode for everybody tonight. It is 10:27 p.m. on Tuesday, May 2nd, and Carter is going to recap for us the Boston book tour. So stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, hi everybody. As promised, we are here tonight with a special guest, Carter Nakamoto, who was in person at the Boston Book Tour event for The Sun and the Star. I'm your co-host, Erica, and we're really excited to hear all about this. This is an episode for if you really, really want to know what happened and you can't get to a book tour, or if you really want to spoil what happens and you're going to Atlanta or San Fran or something, and you want to just spoil it for yourself, go ahead. But again, this is here for you whenever you want. We won't be talking about the book yet because Carter hasn't read it, and we are going
four
to be very careful
in.
About spoils. Okay.
Yeah. Long bus ride to get back home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Carter, it's so lovely to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what motivated you to attend this book tour.
You know, I think I a priori wanted to go, but I was reminded of it a lot when Erica was visiting Boston most recently. Mm, and yes. It was also just after I had broken my knee. So
Carter broke their knee.
Sitting on the couch, hearing about the book tour, and I was like, damn, let me see if I can get a ticket that is suitable for somebody who has a broken knee. And I got one. And that, I would say, about 40% worked out.
40% is good. Good.
Yeah. Worked
no,
out better
it's
than
not.
It does
it's not
at
good.
My workplace.
Sure. So tell us, was it, okay, before you dive in to the play-by-play, did you have fun?
Oh,
did it rock?
Yeah. I had a phenomenal time. I was a little apprehensive about it going in because when I got off the bus, the line was really, really long to get in.
Good to know.
I got there like after seven when the event started. And for those of you who know anything about Central Medford Square, it went from the Chevalier all the way to actual the central intersection. I don't know. This is like a broader New England thing. If any of you know New England, you know that when they say a square, what they mean is a terrible intersection of like 5 to 6 roads with two stoplights that are just rife with fatalities and bicycle injuries and just the rudest, most anti-humanistic driving that you've ever seen. So it was going, the line stretched from the theater to there and then around the corner again by this like vintage ice cream place or something. It was a long ass line, but the people were excited. A lot of merch I saw in the line, a lot of people in costume.
Yay. What did you wear, Carter?
Audience participation. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I broke my knee. So my outfits have been very uninspired. This is kind of the only thing going on in my life right now, is having a broken knee.
It's hard.
It's very time consuming. And I just don't think about other
knees
things.
Knees are important.
I feel like one could generously say that I did a light Nico cosplay in the sense that I was wearing
you
a
were
black
injured
leather jacket.
And sad.
And I was sad and like angry. And didn't talk to anybody and had my earbuds in line. I was like, oh my God, this is, ugh. I almost tripped on a child on my way to get my spot in line. But
exactly.
I didn't trip on a child. I'm pro children. It was lovely to see all the children there, their parents as well.
That's so cute.
The future, also the past. Shout out to all you other old people who were there as well. That was cool.
Yeah.
I met 3 people who stopped me at various points, 2 as they were leaving the theater and 1 literally as we were transferring at Sullivan Square off of the 95 bus. We're all like, oh my God.
Oh,
love the podcast. Wow.
Carter, what does it feel like to be famous?
It's literally so wild because I like don't do any of the work for this, but I feel like I've been recognized for the podcast so many times.
It's literally so recognizable. I literally asked Liam, who is a former guest on this podcast, if anybody stopped him, and he was said no. So literally,
Liam is so recognizable. Liam is like
6 foot four.
I was like wearing an outfit and everything.
Yeah, he did show up in a suit. but yeah, no, Carter, you are recognizable. Good
Not
for
even
you.
My voice these times too. I was like sitting silently with a mask on reading a book.
Nico Core.
Oh my God. anyway, the vibes are good. There was a lot of audience participation. Mark and Rick seem to be having a good time.
Oh. I heard there was a presentation.
Glad I went. Yes. It was a PowerPoint.
That's so special. They had a PowerPoint party for the Sun and the Star.
Yes. Like put together by the editor. There was
a lot
of
queer
art.
Culture.
I feel like it's so embarrassing. I was sitting not close enough for the pictures to be good, but I took them and I have them and they're on the camera roll. And
I posted
some
already.
Really awful pictures of my terrible seat.
Oh,
screen. That's some Nico and Will fan art that I just showed Erica on my phone. That was on the screen. There is the classic Viria Nico fan art. It was also on the screen.
Interesting choice to use the Viria fan art.
Rick stuck to his guns. I
guess it's technically still the official one. But Becky, I thought they would use Alessia.
Made a cameo?
Becky made a cameo?
I do really know what the Alessia art looks like now, and I do not believe that they showed it.
Okay.
As part of the PowerPoint presentation. They did show Mark's original art. They showed a photograph of Mark at age 19.
Oh my God, stop it being a total punk era emo.
A nose ring. There's liner. There is, I want to say, a mohawk.
Nice.
There was also an image of Rick at maybe age 22 with past shoulder length hair that I was not able to photograph. Rick. They only flashed it for like 3 seconds. I was so overwhelmed and I was not able to capture it. There was a full-ass PowerPoint. It's true. What can we say about this? Most of the PowerPoint... Oh, okay. So the broad setup of the event was that the two of them were sitting on stage being interviewed by... I don't know if this is going to be true for all the stops. At the Boston stop, at least, they were being interviewed by their mutual editor, who is also how they met.
Stephanie
interviewed them. That's
correct.
Oh my
God.
But Stephanie interviewed
them. Massive Stephanie fan.
In character as... Literally, this is the wild part, is that I got my copy of the book at the event. So Stephanie was in character as somebody who nobody knew because it was
Which character?
To the book. The blue-haired riddle asker.
Gorgyra?
Yes. There we go.
Gorgyra.
That's the name.
Gorgyra. I don't know how to say it, but I was reading it. Gorgyra.
I believe that is how they pronounce it on stage as well.
Wait, that's stunning.
Maybe they pre-planned the bit, but Stephanie also... It wasn't just a bit. They committed the entire time. Stephanie was never out of character on stage.
Oh my God.
Wig,
I literally love her. She's my
dress,
freaking hero.
Accent. She was doing an accent the whole time. And I don't know that I could place the accent. I want to say
her.
A garbled
in.
Combination of Italian and transatlantic and Professor Trelawney.
Oh, good. For people who don't know Stephanie Lurie, she is the, I really don't want to misquote this, senior editor, I want to say, at Disney Hyperion. She oversees everything, not just that Rick writes, but all of the Rick Riordan Presents books. Obviously, there are other editors who work underneath her, but she is truly an extremely important component to getting these books in our hands and establishing the world of the Riordanverse. She rocks. You can follow her on social media, S.O. Lurie.
The event began basically with Stephanie, again, in character, in costume, asking a bunch of high-level questions about the book that it was expected that all the fans would have. What is the book about? Who is Nico? Who is Will? Why do you have a co-author? What is a co-author? What is the process like of collaborating between the two of you?
Yes.
So we got all of these backstories. Mark told the story of the first time they read all of Rick's books.
Aww.
which was on an ebook on tour. And we got like the whole process of them beginning to collaborate. Rick said that he had this idea and that he reached out to Stephanie to see if she had any recommendations for who a good queer co-author might be. And Stephanie, I believe, was previously also editing Mark, I think. She said. So she recommended
them. They had worked on a project together that like fell through, I believe.
Oh.
And that's how they knew each other.
Interesting.
Mark tweeted about that today. Yeah.
This process also is very interesting to me, where they made Mark sign an NDA and they basically had Mark audition, it sounds like.
Yeah, like they had Mark write
in a draft of like the first five chapters.
Mm-hmm. Based on the outline Rick had already written.
Correct. I feel like that's really wild.
I think that makes sense.
Like, conceptually, I understand auditioning, but...
Yeah.
I feel like with writing and filming and editing and stuff, the idea of an audition where your work product is something that is immediately usable and presentable, I think it's really fascinating. There's been a lot of discourse about when that is appropriate and, like, what kind of a labor practice that is. There was also a Rick shout-out to the WGA because he is now a member of the WGA.
Right. So I was going to say, we should probably talk.
Union information.
And mention that, yeah.
It was somebody in the audience asked, basically, is this going to delay the second season? Which was
they did audience
an interesting
questions?
Way of asking this. They were, like, pre-screened. Like, audience index card questions, which I was not able to access because I... use the elevator, and that's not where they kept the index cards. But some of the audience questions were good. I was taking copious notes the whole time. I'm gonna read off some quotes here.
Do it.
Mark said that when they were thinking about wanting the project, they said, quote, basically it's all about the colored sticky notes. I don't know if anyone has seen the images. I believe they've posted these to social media.
Literally,
of
yes.
Mark's copies of the books.
Yes.
Color-coded sticky notes. A la, Michelle Yeoh. Yeah, they said, I think they're going to release the color coding at some point soon and otherwise
cute.
Try to explain
so
what's going on there. Mark also said, quote, I was young Mexican Nico in my young goth punk rock phase.
Exactly
that. Was
that.
To go with a picture of 19-year-old Mark.
Yes, exactly that. So true.
Yeah, it was nice to see other people all like headcanoning Nico as their non-white ethnicity, even though Nico's like very... certainly very Italian.
Japanese?
But also not. Oh.
Sure.
Mark, okay, I didn't know about this. I don't know how much of this Mark tweeted. I like read like a bunch of Mark's Twitter feed before this. Some of those things were echoed. Mark did make a big statement at the end about how much they felt grateful to the fandom and said specifically that they thought that this was a unique community online experience and that they have a folder on their phone of screenshots in the first 3 days after the collaboration was announced. Aww. And all the cute gay memes that people sent them.
It's us, we're people.
I really hope that we're one of them. What did Mark say? Mark took credit for specific things. There was an interesting, like, Mark was so reverent of Rick throughout this whole thing and could not say enough nice things about them. But also they were like taking credit for some things, which I really...
Good.
I was in favor of. I appreciated it. Mark specifically said that some things, the Eterne, and they also said the flashback scene. If any of you have your physical copy of the book...
It's the big chunk of
we're
going to
spoil
pages.
It. There's like a black chunk
Don't spoil
right in the
it,
middle
Carter.
That you can
Don't
see on
it.
The outside. That chunk is Mark's idea.
Great.
Yes. Mark also named one of the Trogs, and they gave this name.
His Majesty.
His Majesty apparently was.
Majesty.
Mark's idea. Rick made a hand heart at one point to Mark. Aww. During the event. Exactly like that. Listeners, because this is not a visual medium, the hand heart is...
thumb to thumb, fingers to fingers.
Thumb to thumb, curled fingers to curled fingers in the way that you, like, you know... An idol wouldn't do it. It's like very like, yeah, Rick Riordan, if he were to do a hand heart, he would do that one.
That's so lovely. I'd love to hear that. I'm sure somebody got a picture.
It was nice for him. Rick said, quote, Fox, who made the Peter Johnson movies.
Oh my God.
He
now
was
that's
really on TV. One.
He literally said the Peter Johnson movies. He said, don't come at me, Fox. You didn't read my letters.
So, yeah, the format of the event in the beginning was like a Q&A structured around the book with slides of different art to ask questions like, why Mark like, why is Mark a good co-author? Why would you have a co-author? What was the impetus for the book? Did anything get added to the original outline after it was made? There was a screenshot of the original outline that was a part of the PowerPoint.
Cool.
But then eventually they switched. Oh, this was cool. I hope they post this. I hope they should post the slideshow on the internet. It's like 2023.
Maybe they will after the last tour.
Post the slides. Which is, you like, gotta Friday. Post the slides. That's just common educational courtesy. They have this cute little image of all of the different monsters that are important to the book that they put on a slide. And Mark got up and walked around the back of the seating area and was pointing at them and saying things about their backstories. And gave us this whole backstory specifically about their personal relationship to the Eternae because of an English teacher in elementary school or middle school who had them read Alexander the Great's diaries.
Wow, that's
really
cool.
Which is how they know about these. And they were like, yeah, these are not part of the modern canon of retellings of...
Ooh, something new.
The Greco-Roman tradition. Yeah. They also did the same thing where they... Like, this was really giving... gay people slideshow party, where they showed Mark's original doodles. So if you have a physical copy of the book, the, what do you call them, the insets, if you like flip open the cover on either end, there is something that looks kind of like a wallpaper,
a map,
but it's kind of a map, but it's also not, because it's really not to scale. It's just a series
like
of arrows drawn connecting physical events / experiences that they have throughout the journey. And that came out of Mark's draft. But the draft is very bad. Like, not bad content-wise, but bad in the sense that Mark cannot draw. And they were very emphatic about that. And there were all these labels saying, this is a Draken. Make it nice. There's like a stick figure of a woman. And it says, parentheses, Persephone, imagine she's pretty.
That's so
It was
lovely.
Very cute. And then we got to... Eventually, I think Rick structures all of his events this way. There is basically the Rick broader universe sideshow updates, trade show, shareholders convention.
Yes, the Disney shareholders convention.
Literally, it's
the
like
D23 of it all.
But for Rick.
Okay, so Rick didn't announce a Hunter's Talia Reyna novel, I'm guessing, because I would have heard about that by now.
Okay, yes, you would have heard about it by now.
Oh,
listeners,
bummer.
As you remember, we got the Sign of the Star announcement at the Daughter of the Deep book tour on
Zoom.
We were
there on Carter's sofa.
Everyone, yes, on the sofa in this apartment. So like, you probably heard about it immediately. It was all over Twitter. If you're scrolling Twitter, if you have been scrolling Twitter at any point in the past 12 hours, you probably realized that we have not had an equivalent announcement, but there were still updates on things. He, first of all, went through all the RRP stuff.
Yay!
Delightful.
I love getting the RRP update at every Ryderverse event now. It's so exciting.
Yeah, he does a good job pitching them. And you can definitely tell, I was really heartwarmed to see that some of the kids in the audience really seemed to have reactions before. Like, some people in the audience were, like, really responding to his pitches. Like, oh, I haven't heard of this before. That sounds cool. I'm going to go check out some of these books.
Oh, yeah. Kids are impressionable.
But that's the thing. It's, like, some of the kids were definitely the other way. We're, like, some of the books... Like, okay, I don't know if this is like a shady thing to say. Some of the books got bigger screams than others, which to me is indicating that some of those kids were like, yeah, I read the first two books.
Yeah.
And this is the one that I'm excited for.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Gracie. Definitely. Gracie, the people were waiting. The people were demanding.
She is literally famous. Guys, we are literally talking to Gracie in like 9 days. So get very excited for our The Last Fallen Realm episode. I'm literally reading it right now. No spoilers.
Yes, me as well. I'm very excited for that.
She's my hero.
Rick gave us a special insight, specifically, I did not know, into Roshani Chokshi's new project. Roshani,
Filipino
you will know.
Heritage.
Yes, the new project
folklore.
Is about Filipino heritage, but you'll know Roshani from the Arusha books, which
are
about,
also very popular.
Very, very popular. Yeah.
And complete now.
Wild. Yeah, complete. The original RRP books, as you may or may not remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. That was really exciting. Rick did that. He went through all of those. He gave us the adaptation updates. I guess that was maybe the news, but he didn't have any, it was maybe less exciting because he wasn't announcing anything that we didn't already know was in some stage of progress. So he gave us basically updates on Cain. He said they are in the fifth round of screenplay edits and things, but they haven't officially signed the contract yet, but it's in development with Netflix, which I think people already knew, for a feature film adaptation.
We knew that.
One film per book. They're working through the Red Pyramid right now, but it's not like set in stone yet. What else did he talk about? He talked about Daughter of the Deep. He said he just turned in the first screenplay draft of that. And this is interesting. The screenplay draft is with a co-author.
Yeah.
Aditi Brennan Kapil. This was, in fact, already announced literally 2 years ago. But the announcement, I guess, is that I didn't know that there was going to be a co-writer for the screenplay. The announcement is that the screenplay draft is done and submitted to Disney Plus.
Cool.
And Rick also said, okay, I guess this was maybe the big announcement. The people, as you would imagine, went wild when he put up his little slide. The slideshow is going all the time, by the way. There's a slide for every RP book. There's a slide for every adaptation project, PowerPoint party. The final slide was for the Disney Plus TV adaptation.
Yeah.
As you might expect. Uh-huh. And the update is that Rick has screened a first cut of all of the episodes.
Oh my God.
That's like a big deal.
I mean, we knew that Becky had seen some things, but that is wild.
There's a huge caveat that the special effects aren't done yet. So they're it's
obviously
early stages.
Yeah.
Let me read a quote so that I don't mischaracterize what happened here. What did he say? There were 6 months of principal photography for them. He said he is, quote, relieved. That was his primary reaction when seeing.
Oh, they're not going to Peter Johnson it.
Quote, I think you guys will be really pleased.
Oh,
I'm excited. We're on track. What else is there to say? He did that, and then his final update was about Chalice of the Gods.
Great.
But it wasn't really an update because we knew about that. And he basically just like gave a rundown of the premise again, gave a rundown of the backstory of the book again, which, as you may or may not remember, was basically a negotiating tactic as they were trying to gear up for the Disney Plus series, where he really could not stop himself from continuing to shade the execs at Disney involved.
Good.
I mean, this is, I guess, the man behind Persassi, but like he really was
literally
like,
Persassi. He himself is Persassi. That is his voice.
He was like, yeah, I had to remind them that they own the intellectual property. They were so surprised. But it was like, did you know that you literally published me?
It's giving Richard. Richard.
They did say, okay, Becky showed up. That was very exciting. Becky made an appearance on stage.
That's so exciting.
Apparently, Becky said that the new book is very influenced by Mark's writing style.
Yes.
They didn't
elaborate
about what that meant.
That is something
other than
I
think, like you said, like emotional.
Yes.
You observed
that
it
is something
in...
I violently felt as far as the structure of the book as well as the content, that it was highly influenced by Mark's personal style.
No, but they meant for Chalice. They were saying like
Chalice
is like very impacted by the experience of having collaborated with Mark, according to Becky. Apparently that's what Becky said after reading the draft.
And what Becky says is law. So that's amazing.
We got a little tidbit that the last five lines of The Sun and the Star have been the last five lines since the first draft that Mark wrote. That's kind of intriguing. I'm very curious. Oh, okay. This is actual tea. So I think this is actual tea. To me, this was news. Somebody asked, one of the audience questions was, when did you know that Nico was gay?
Whoa, that's a really good question.
That's tea, right? I feel like we are constantly having this discussion. Somebody just asked. Rick said, quote, okay, this is not, I'm not, I shouldn't quote this. I tried to type this down, but I was typing on my phone. Rick basically said, I knew Nico was gay since the Battle of the Labyrinth. And that Percy was clearly very important to him. But he also said, I didn't know everything he was going through at the time, but also neither did he. Also said, relatedly, you know, I think Nico was trying to come out to me as we were going through those books.
Oh my God. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
And then Mark was like, I always knew Nico was gay.
Ah! Period.
I knew it from the Myth of Magic cards.
From the jump, from the aviator jacket and that messy, messy haircut and the Myth of Magic cards. And that's why what Mark says is law.
Mark also gave an interesting tidbit, which totally 100% makes sense. But they said basically that somebody asked them what was difficult about writing the books. And they mostly said writing Will for them was the hard part.
I know
because
that
because they were like,
I'm
Nico. I understand Nico. Everything about this, but he was like, I don't know, like I'm not Will, and I What else did they say about that? They were also saying, like, Will is in an environment where he is not skilled and has no experience, and he is not meant to be.
Oh, I can't so wait to talk like, about how that. How do I
like make Will somebody who is not necessarily in generally useless, but like is very much contextually not in his element and struggling?
Yeah.
And not.
I know Mark put in that tweet thread that Becky was really helpful in early on, Mark
yes.
trying to figure out how
they
to
also
write
said
Will.
That on stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What else did they say? Okay. I'm going to read
last minute
basically
things, last minute
a
things.
Quote.
Go ahead and just read them, Carter.
This is from Mark. There are very few stories. This is like paraphrasing. There are very few stories about being in a relationship and putting in the work to stay in a relationship in middle grade books. We wanted to treat Nico and Will the same as Percy and Annabeth, the same attention and love and respect. It's an exploration of what it means to stay together. Relationships are never easy, but they don't have to be hard. This is a book where these two understand each other more as it goes on. But also it's important that we wanted to feature platonic relationships that are and should be on the same level. This was in response to an audience question about how they depicted the relationship and what takeaways people are supposed to have after reading the book.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I feel that very deeply. There are Percibeth parallels.
Yes. That was the line that really got me. It was like, they basically said like they deserve the same respect and treatment and attention.
Wow. And how did you feel about that, Carter?
I was like, what? That's like very profound. Which, I mean, like, literally, this is a book where we're following the two of them through Tartarus. Like,
the book itself is a parallel to
it's built into the project.
Movies. Yeah, it's true.
And it's very appropriate. Mark also, okay, this is very iconic. This is probably the last thing we're going to say about this. There was a question about godly parents. And Mark said, I have two godly parents. Isn't that iconic? They said, I'm an Olympian.
I'm an Olympian. What were Mark's godly parents?
They said Hades and Mr. D. Not Dionysus. Mr. D.
Wait, that is a cool.
Isn't that hilarious and iconic?
Perfect sense. That you don't
Nico's
even need
dad
to
and Nico's literally kind of foster adopted dad slash therapist.
Literally makes perfect sense. That is the 100% the energy we get from Mark, I would say. And did Rick say Hermes? Because I saw some tweets.
Rick did say Hermes. And he also said, quote, it is something I talked about in therapy. Thanks for asking.
Wow.
What? Rick?
Rick had to tell his own therapist about his godly parent. Just like me, for real. Just like me.
I do feel like, I remember sitting there and he said that. And I was like, when he said the therapy line, I was like holding the chair and I was like, oh my God. Are we going to talk about Luke? Is this where we're going today? What is, but we didn't. We sure did not.
I didn't even
we
think
left
about
it
that.
At that.
Wow.
Yeah. And the last thing that they talked about, basically, Mark gave the big fandom speech that I was alluding to earlier, but they also wrapped, basically, somebody asked them about impact of the books. And Rick's answer was referring to a scene that I haven't read yet, but Erica has read, between Nico and Piper about impact and about the like responsibilities and meanings of carving a path in the world was the takeaway I got from their conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Mark was like, that was when I wrote that scene, I was thinking about my like writing relationship with you. Like he said that to Rick.
Aww.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh my God. I'm going to cry the entire time tomorrow. I'm really excited. This has been so lovely and special. It's been so lovely and special to like see people we know, not only at the event, but like get to talk to them. Everybody, if you listen to Prophecy Radio, Karen from Prophecy Radio interviewed Rick and Mark tonight, and they're going to have a special episode on that. Let us know if you were there, if you're going to another tour stop. And also I wanted to say, because some people have already been reaching out to us about this, if you are not in a place where it is, you know, safe for you to read this book, you know, if you live at home with your parents or otherwise you're in a location where you can't read this book that is, you know, openly queer and stuff like that, I hope that this can be a space for you to digest the content. So as we go through and talk about the book, starting like I think next week, we'll recap a few chapters at a time. And yeah, hopefully
there's nothing incriminating about our podcast art or anything like that. And you can listen to this and we can share that space together. And yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this book. I'm now, I guess,
Erica's
2 days.
Finished it, for context.
2 days from having finished it, I immediately, as soon as I finished it, I had nobody to talk to about it until I found out Karen had also read it. And then Karen and I got to talk about it. But I had no one to talk about it with. And I immediately just messaged Mark because I was like, who else am I going to say this to? And Mark replied right away. And like, we had a chit chat about the last scene in the book, and which I can't wait to recount once we get there in several weeks. But yeah, this is going to be a really special time, I think. I'm really excited. Yay.
Me too. I'm going to go read right now.
Yay. Carter's going to go read. We're going to get prepared to record the first few chapters. I think mentally it's going to be 1 through 3. So if you're listening to this now and you're reading along, 1 through 3.
4. No. 4?
Is that what I said?
4 is the end of the sequence.
Okay. Whatever Carter says goes. What Carter says is law. All right. 1 through 4. And if we don't get through 4, at least you're prepared. All right. Thank you, Carter, for making it all the way to the tour on your broken knee and all the way home to share this information with us. I'm so excited for the tour tomorrow night.
It was a great time. You're going to have so much fun. They gave out t-shirts at our stop. I hope you get t-shirts. And I hope the line isn't too long. Oh.
Embrace your demons.
Okay. It was like a surprise for us. That's
fun. Stephanie literally leaked it on Twitter. It was very funny. She was like, I can't wait to wear my shirt and be a groupie at the tour. And then like 24 hours later, they were like, surprise, everyone's getting t-shirts. We will talk to you guys soon. I don't want to overhype this book because I want everybody to go into it, you know, with their own POV. But I had an excellent time and I'm really feeling the love and the gratitude for Mark and Rick and Becky and Stephanie and everybody at Disney Hyperion and you guys and Carter and just being here.
First 4 chapters were busted.
Period.
We'll keep going. Yeah.
Happy 16 years of Nico D'Angelo as of yesterday. And we'll talk to you all soon. See you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.